Good morning. This is Resurrection Morning, Celebration Sunday. If you were here on Good Friday 2 days ago, then you know that it was a dark, somber service. We only had the cross on the platform, no people up here, just the cross, and we were recognizing the day that Jesus died. But today is different. Today, we are celebrating the fact that he's alive. This is Celebration Sunday. So every song that we have sung, every word that's been spoken is meant to designed to shout it loud and long that he is risen. Okay, now this is Easter Sunday. I don't know if you recognize that or not. We do have a few lilies up here. So whenever I say he is risen, you're supposed to say,
he is risen.
I thought we went over this. All right, here we go. Let's try this all again. Every word that we've spoken, every song that we've sung, every note that's been played, every video, everything, everything has been designed to proclaim loud and strong and sure, he is risen. Much better, thank you. If you've been around here throughout the season of Lent, you know that we've been in a sermon series called Objects from the Hill. And we've been talking about those things that would have been found on the place where Jesus died, Golgotha, the place of the skull. And the hope was that each week you'd take that object home and you'd put it someplace and you'd remember the price that was paid for your salvation. And so we went through that series, and 1 week we gave out signs, little signs, because you know that there was a sign placed on the cross that said, Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. It was written in three languages, Latin, Aramaic, and Greek. And the message was from that week was that God will use anything, a sign on a cross. God will use anybody. It was Pontius Pilate that put that sign on the cross to communicate his great love for you. He'll speak any language to proclaim that he loves you. The next week, we handed out nails. Everybody knows Jesus was nailed to the cross. And we talked about how Jesus, being very man, felt those nails. He felt the agony. He knew the pain. But as very God, Jesus, we have recognized that Jesus wasn't on the cross because of those nails. He was on the cross because of his great love for you and me. The next week, we handed out thorns. Jesus had a crown of thorns. And so we put them in little envelopes because thorns are sharp and we didn't want you to poke yourself. And so we passed out all those thorns and we said, you know, it's a thorny world. It's a thorny, thorny world. There's a lot of hazards. There's a lot of trouble. But we reminded everybody that Jesus said, take heart, for I have overcome the world. The next week, Pastor Andy preached a great sermon from the words of Jesus when he was saying, I thirst, and the sponge. We gave out sponges, and people had that to remember the sponge that was lifted up to Jesus to offer him a drink. And we said, Jesus knows what you're going through. He knows your hurts. He knows your pains. He knows your struggles. He knows you. The next week, we handed out dice. Remember, the soldiers are playing dice for his clothes right as Jesus was dying on the cross. And we said, you can be close to Jesus geographically like those soldiers right at the foot of the cross. You can be close to Jesus theologically like the Pharisees. They knew Scripture too. We said, you can be close to Jesus and still miss it. You can be in church every single Sunday. You can know the Bible stories like the back of your hand, but still miss Jesus. And if you miss that, you miss the whole thing. Then last week, on Palm Sunday, we gave out dried, old, dead palm leaves on Palm Sunday. I felt like Morticia Adams handing out dead palm leaves on Palm Sunday. And the idea was that, again, objects from the hill, that those people who are waving alive palm branches on the first Palm Sunday, by Friday, those palm leaves were dead, and by Friday, those people were shouting, crucify him, crucify him. And we said, just like today, so many people are hopeless. They're going through life like those dried up old palm leaves, dead and without life. And we said, there is an answer to that, that Jesus is the hope of the world, that he indeed is risen. Okay. I don't know how many times we're going to have to go through this today, but it's Easter. I don't know if you've noticed, there's lilies. And when I say he's risen, you're supposed to say,
he is risen indeed.
And so that's why we're here. That's what we're to proclaim. And my problem was, if we were going to carry this out, what object do you do to proclaim, you know, the tomb is empty? What object do you get for that? Here, have a whole bunch of nothingness. It's empty. And so I didn't know what to give. So we gave out, as you know, you came in, you got a balloon this morning, because what says party like a balloon. Balloons say party, and this is supposed to be a party. Jesus is alive. He's resurrected from the dead. He's no longer in the tomb, and so we need to celebrate that fact. And so that's why we handed out balloons. Nothing says party, I don't think, like balloons. We ought to celebrate. This ought to be, this is for Christians, this is our Super Bowl. This is the biggest day of the year. With no apologies to Santa Claus, this is the biggest day of the year. Sin has been defeated. The grave has been defeated. Death has been defeated. Brokenness has been defeated. That is a reason to celebrate. Jesus didn't come so that mean people would become nice. Jesus came to this earth so that dead people can be alive. That's why we're here. Jesus told us, I am the living one. I died. But look, I'm alive forever and ever. And I hold the keys to death and the grave. He holds the keys to death and the grave. That is good news. This, a couple weeks ago, we've been in our house for 3 weeks now. A couple weeks ago, Carla and I wanted to take a little walk. It was a nice day. We wanted to take a walk around our neighborhood. And so we went out and started to take a walk. And we ran into my boss, your former pastor. He lives in the same neighborhood. And so, Dr. Glenn Gardner and Kayla and their dog, Yoshi, were out taking a walk. And so we joined them. It was a nice time, wonderful time. We got back to our house. I said, Carla, I don't have my keys. And she said, well, I don't have my keys. And a car was sitting on the driveway, and it was locked. So I couldn't hit the, garage door opener. I said, Carla, do you remember the code to get in the garage? She's, I don't remember. I think there's an 8 in it, but that's all I know. And she said, well, I don't know. And so she tried once, nothing happened. I said, we could be in trouble. The truth is, we would be in trouble if not for Jesus Christ. He holds the keys to death in the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. Jesus is alive today. Jesus rose from the dead. And Carla remembered the code, so praise the Lord. We got in. Jesus also said this, I'm the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Whoever lives and believes in me will never, never, ever, never, ever, ever, never die. I think I'm a little more excited maybe this year than even in past years about Easter. Because many of you know, my mom passed away 2.5 months ago, February 5th, 2014. And so that makes this Easter a little bit different from other Easters because of that. You see, there was an obituary in the newspaper. It said Carol Ann Prince, born in Melvindale, Michigan, on November 12th, 1932, died February 5th, 2014. That's what it said, right in the newspaper. Carol Ann Prince died February 5th, 2014. Don't you believe it? You see, that obituary, it should have said this. Carol Ann Prince, born in Melvindale, Michigan, November 12th, 1932. But sometime in around 1960, this mom, after her husband was saved and found the Lord, 6 months later, this mom of three, it's before I was born, this mom of three, she found Jesus too, and she invited Jesus into her life, and she accepted him and followed him and became a follower of him. And so what that meant was on February 5th, 2014, she's never been more alive than ever in her life. That's what it should have said. I'm no heaven expert. I don't know what, it'll be like to walk on streets of gold. I don't know how deep the crystal sea is. I don't know if there's going to be, walleye in the crystal sea. I don't know a lot of, I don't know if my mom has a ranch style mansion or a Tudor style mansion or a, little bungalow. I don't know any of that stuff. But this is what I know. Carol Ann Prince, born in Melvindale, Michigan, November 12th, 1932. She's there. That's what I know. That's why we're celebrating today. Jesus Christ has conquered death, and that makes all the difference in the world. And so, even though they pop sometimes, we have to party. That's why you got a balloon. I've been to lots of parties, and they have balloons. Sometimes they say, happy birthday. Sometimes they say happy retirement, something like that. I did hear about this one florist who made this huge snafu. They were supposed to take some flower arrangements to a funeral home and balloons to a lady who was getting ready to go on a cruise all the way to Australia. And maybe you've heard this old story. It's true. I don't know if it's true or not. But they got it mixed up. And so the lady going to Australia got this flower arrangements that said, rest in peace. She thought that was a little creepy. But the funeral home, it was worse at the funeral home because they received a whole bunch of balloons that said, enjoy your fun down under. That's a bad mistake, you know. You don't want that. Balloons in our culture signify a party, a celebration. A few years back, a friend of mine who's a Boston Celtics fan called me up and said, hey, Rob, I've got tickets to game 6 of the NBA championship game between the Boston Celtics and the Los Angeles Lakers. And if you can get to Boston, I've got a ticket for you. I'm no Celtics fan. I'm a Detroit Pistons fan. But I knew they'd never get there in a long time. So I said, sign me up. I'll come out there. And so I went. And if the Celtics won that day, then they were going to be the world champions. It was, you know, they were up 3-1, or 3-2. If they won that game, they would be the world champions. And so I went there, and it was a party-like atmosphere. Everybody was excited. The Boston Garden was full of all these people. They were saying things that no preacher should ever say. The whole arena was chanting against the Lakers. Well, the Celtics, though, they won. They won the game, and people went nuts, absolutely crazy. I got more hugs from drunk men that day than in my entire life. Combined. I mean, they were all hugging me and high-fiving me. And somebody way up in the rafters of the Boston Garden, way up there, there was a net or something. They cut the net, and all these balloons, hundreds, thousands of balloons came down, and the music was blaring, and everyone was celebrating and partying. Why? Because it was a party. Balloons were there. It was a party. The Celtics had won. Listen, Jesus is alive. He is risen. You got to be a little quicker with that, but that's okay. And that is the greatest news of all. Way more than the Celtics winning the championship. Are you kidding me? Death has been defeated. That's why we celebrate. That's why we gather. That's what this whole deal is about. It's party time. Balloons in our culture signify that there is something to celebrate, and we have the most to celebrate of all. If you haven't noticed, this is Easter Sunday. It is Resurrection Sunday. It's not a funeral. Now, I've preached a lot of funerals. This is not a memorial service. We didn't gather here. I'm not here to say, dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to remember Jesus Christ of Nazareth. He did many fine things in his life, but he's dead and gone. No, it's a party. This is not a funeral. So we gave you balloons. I apologize if you have latex allergies. Next week, we're giving out peanuts for all those who have nut allergies. That is not true at all. Next week, we are starting a brand new sermon series. This is like your commercial break. We are starting a new sermon series called Heroes. And if you've ever struggled with faith or issues of doubt or wondering about future and where God is leading, this is the perfect series for you. We're not going to hand out anything next week. You know, there'll be no Abraham, little action figure, no Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego bobbleheads. Nothing like that. But it's going to be a great service and a great series, and I hope you're part of it. Anyway, back to your regularly scheduled program. Balloons. We have balloons. Why do we have balloons? Because we are here to celebrate. We are here to proclaim loud and long and strong that Jesus is alive. Now, there was no balloons, of course, in the Bible. The women showed up at the tomb on that first Easter morning with spices, not balloons. They didn't roll the big rock away. The rock wasn't rolled away. It wasn't a giant balloon. No, no, no. It's just meant to celebrate, remind us that Jesus is alive, and that makes all the difference. The Apostle Paul is probably exhibit A in what I'm talking about. The Apostle Paul is one of the most intriguing people ever to walk on this planet. And if you know your Bible, you know that he was called Saul before he was called Paul. And Saul, as Saul, he hated Christians. He wanted to eliminate all Christians. He thought that Jesus was dead. He was dead, and he was trying to eliminate anybody who would think otherwise. And so the Bible tells us that he got up one day and was headed down to Damascus to gather up and arrest and get more Christians. Now, I don't know how his day began, but I imagine it went something like this. He was just, you know, strapping up his sandals, putting on his tunic, thinking, well, I'm going to go down to Damascus. I'm going to find some people who think that Jesus is alive. Everybody should know that Jesus is dead, dead, dead. He's not alive. So I'm going to get those people. I'm going to throw them in the jail, and hopefully they'll come to their senses and realize that Jesus is dead. That'll be a busy morning. Maybe I'll run over to the Damascus Pizza Parlor before I head back home, and I'll be home for supper. That was his plans. But the Bible tells us what happens. He was on that road, and as he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Who are you, Lord? I'm Jesus, knucklehead. Who you been persecuting? Jesus didn't say knucklehead, but... I'm Jesus, who you been persecuting? And that encounter with Jesus forever changed his life. Paul would go on to write 13 of the books in your New Testament, 13 of the letters in your New Testament. And in one of those letters, writing to a church in Corinth, Paul, now no longer Saul, everything changed when he met Jesus. Paul said to this to these people, Christ has been raised from the dead. Hard to deny that Jesus resurrected from the dead when you encounter him on the road to Damascus. Christ has been raised from the dead. He is the first of the great harvest of all who have died. So you see, just as death came into the world through one man, now the resurrection from the dead has begun through another man. Just as everyone dies who belonged to Adam, everyone who belongs to Christ will be given new life. That's why we're here. That's what this whole deal is about. Jesus has been raised from the dead. He is risen. Oh, you're doing so much better now. Thank you. Jesus did not go to the cross, and he's not alive today just so that we can eat, jelly beans or Peeps. Hopefully nobody. Jesus certainly did not raise from the dead so people could eat Peeps. He is alive. He's risen not so that... I threw that in there. You almost missed it. You did. He's alive not so that mean people will be made nice. He's alive so that dead people can be made alive. That's the whole deal. He is alive so that people who are struggling with life can find that in him is their hope. He's alive so that his presence might be at work in you. He's alive so that those old things of this life, those old habits and hang-ups and everything else can be done away with. Jesus is alive. Long before the TV show The Walking Dead was on, and this is not about, zombies this morning, but long before The Walking Dead, there are people who are walking around dead. They're not zombies, that's not what this is about, but they're just going through life. Real people, people you know, people that you work with, people you go to school with, people who are nice people. They've got, kids and a mortgage and a minivan, nice people, but they're dying on the inside. And they may not even be able to articulate what's going on. But they know they're missing something. They're missing. Something is missing. And they just go from life to life, paycheck to paycheck, and they're thinking, what is missing? I am here to proclaim that is Jesus Christ, the one who has conquered death, the hope of the world. That's what's missing. That's who brings life and meaning and purpose to life. You see, these folks who are walking dead, they're like a balloon that's deflated. Maybe that's the best way to describe them. They're deflated. They don't know the hope that Jesus can fill them. They have deflated hopes, deflated dreams, deflated expectations. They don't know that Jesus said, I have come so that you might have life and have it to the full. Jesus has come so that he might expand his presence in your life. Jesus has come so that you might experience life and have it to the full. That's why we're here celebrating. Now, it may be that you haven't experienced that. Well, hear how John tells on Easter evening, the very first Easter evening. Remember, the disciples, they had heard from Mary Magdalene that Jesus was raised from the dead, but they didn't really know if they could believe her. They hadn't seen him for themselves. They were still full of doubts and worries and fear, no doubt, because the people who are trying to kill Jesus are still out there, and maybe they'd want to kill them too. And so John says this on Easter night, this is what happened. Later on that day, the disciples had gathered together. But fearful of the Jews, had locked all the doors in the house. And Jesus entered, stood among them, didn't even have the garage code. He just entered. Peace to you. Then he showed them his hands and his side. See, it's really me, boys. And the disciples, seeing the master with their own eyes, were exuberant. Yahoo, it's Jesus. Jesus repeated his greeting, peace to you. Just as the Father has sent me, I send you. And then, remember, our balloons. Then he took a deep breath and he breathed into them. Receive the Holy Spirit. That's what Jesus wants to do for you. He wants to breathe his life into you. He wants to take meaningless, hopeless, troubled, struggling people and say, receive the Holy Spirit. Let me be at work in your life. Let me change you into being the person that you were created to be. That's what Jesus wants for you. And if you're here today and you've never experienced that, if you're here today and you're just going through life kind of dead inside, I want you to know that the resurrected one can come and reside in you. It'll be the greatest day in your life. The Bible says it's really easy. You know, it's really ABC, accept Jesus, believe he is the Lord of all, confess you need him. And Jesus, the Bible says that anyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Anybody. Doesn't matter who you are, what you've done, where you've been, anybody can experience the resurrected power of Jesus Christ in their life. Receive the Holy Spirit is what he said. He says it to you. In fact, I'd like us just to pray. If you've never before accepted Christ, we're not going to go yet. But if you've never before accepted Christ, today's a great day to do it. Today is a great day to discover all that Jesus has for you. Today is a great day to discover that he lives, not just because we say it, but he lives within your heart and in your life. So you can join me if you've never even prayed that. Some of you prayed this long ago, but some of you have never prayed it and never invited Jesus into your life. You can do that today. So just join me as I pray. Lord, some of us here, we know the stories like the back of our hands, but we've never really got it deep inside of us. And the truth of the matter is, like walking dead people, we're just kind of going through life. And we know something is missing, but we haven't ever put a finger on what's missing in my life. Well, Lord, your word says that you're who's missing in our life. And your word also says that we can experience the power of the resurrection if we admit that we need you. We are sinners in need of you. If we believe that you came to this world and you died on a cross. And if we confess our devotion to you, Lord, you have said that you would come in and be with us forever and ever and ever. And like my mom, know that her home is with you forever and ever and ever. So Lord, would you do that even now to anyone here who maybe has never accepted you in their heart and life? It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The Bible says when you pray that prayer, you earnestly pray that prayer, that there is a party going on in heaven. Now, I don't know if they use balloons up in heaven. Maybe they do. But the Bible says that when one lost sheep comes home, there's a party in heaven. And that's what we are here to celebrate. This is Resurrection Day. It is party day. We are celebrating the fact that Jesus has come into this world, that he is risen. Still a little slow, and we're almost to the end. He is risen. And that makes all the difference in the world. He will inflate your life. He will take you from being a drab, deflated life. There's no fun. Balloons are not fun this way. You can throw them up. That's a big deal. They're no fun. No, how are balloons fun? It's when you inflate them. It's when you fill them. Sometimes with air, or you can fill them with water. That's really fun. It would kind of be messy in here. Or back in my teen camp days, we used to fill them with paint. Whoa, that takes balloons to a whole new level. We're not going to do that. But I think what we can do is we can still expand these balloons. So take your balloon if you have it. We're talking about how Jesus can inflate. We're talking about how because of Jesus, this is a party. We need to celebrate. How do you celebrate? You have balloons. Don't pop your balloon. Just blow it up. Don't blow it up too far so it pops like that. Then tie it off. Tie off your balloon just like this. This is a party. Remember, we're celebrating. If you let it do that, then you lose it. Okay. I did this in the first service. I've never done this before. I didn't know if I should do this or not. I'm worried that this might be, if this doesn't go great, it was great being your pastor. I've enjoyed being here. Thank you very much. I thought, what song talks about partying? What song means that we're going to celebrate? Jesus is alive. He is risen. So what song can we sing or have played that would celebrate that? So you got to stand up. This was the only song I could think of that would talk about being at a party and that Jesus is alive. Here we go. Play this song. You can bop your balloons to your friends as we do it. Keep bopping them. It's a party. Jesus is alive. Jesus Christ is alive. He is risen. That is news that is party news. That is exciting news. Rejoice in that news. One more time. He is risen. Lord, we rejoice in that good news. We celebrate that good news. It's a party. We can have life because of you. Thank you, Jesus, for what you've done for us. In your name we pray. Amen.